Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 101 of Nerd Pride Radio. 101, exactly the number of puppies that I had to kill for my Cruella de Vil cosplay for next year's Gen Con. Wow, Mike, did you really have to kill puppies personally for this? Well, no, obviously I didn't have to, but I want the character to be authentic. I mean, I'm very method. I'm like the Daniel Day-Lewis of cosplay, so trust me, it's going to be awesome. But ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there are like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my head anymore. Oh, my co-host this week, it's Easy E. Welcome, Easy, or Mr. E. Yeah, and why? Updates! Yeah, did I tell you I was playing the Fantasy Movie League? Because I am playing the Fantasy Movie League over at fantasymovieleague.com. And you go in and you have a budget and eight screens to fill for your fantasy theater. And so you pick eight movies to fill your, or, you know, however many movies you can put on each screen. Whatever, it doesn't matter. You've got a budget. So you load up, and then based on how the movies perform that week, you get money back. And it's your job to determine which one's going to give you the best return for what you got to spend on it. Awesome, simple concept. I have been failing hard at this game up until this week. Finally, Straight out of Compton gives me the in I needed. Oh, it was, I finally did something right, and thank you to Zombie for pointing me to some proper resources. It is tough. It is a tough game. So I'm in, and I'm feeling like I'm doing well, which is good. We're just getting to the end of this season. I came in two-thirds of the way through the season. So I'm finally getting a handle on it. We'll see how the next couple of weeks go. And then this season will be over. Great. I can scrap all this. We'll start over with the new fall season, and hopefully I can be competitive for that one. We'll see how it goes. Maybe, maybe not. Because if you want to do it really right, and, you know, like Zombies, you know, number five out of, what, 14,000 people who are playing now? Something like that. He's the number five dude. And I don't know how much work that takes. But for me, you know, I've got enough ability to check a couple of websites and then maybe check the chatter and number of screens the night before it opens. But other than that, I don't know how much I can invest in it. But I'm going to try. I mean, I'm still having fun with it, so that's all that matters. Anyway, if you guys want to join, come over to fantasymovieleague.com. We've got a league over there, Nerd Pride Radio. Well, join. Come hang with us. We would love to have you. And like I say, it's, for me, it is, I spend a few minutes looking at it on Tuesday when the thing first opens up. And then usually Wednesday, Thursday, I'm waiting for the reports and predictions to come out. And so once I start getting predictions, usually Thursday, then I can start actually doing a little bit of math. And, you know, you put in a few minutes, you put in a half hour to an hour, whatever, you do your calculations, you select your movies, and then you just wait it out. Then it locks, and there's nothing to do all weekend long. So it's not a huge investment, but, I mean, it could be. It could be a real time sink. And if it starts to get to be that for me, I'm going to have to eat my password. Kyle warned me, and I didn't listen. What else do I got? Oh, and also updates, the Nerd Pride Movie of the Week Club. Come join us. We have got, what, there's a dozen of us talking about movies, and every 2 weeks, even though it's the Movie of the Week Club, every 2 weeks, don't be a nerd, we get a new movie to watch, and all of us watch it. It's on Netflix, so you've got Netflix streaming. It's free for you, right? I mean, it's already included in your subscription. So we all wind up watching the movie, and then we all chat about it. And it's interesting. These are all fascinating movies. Some of them we've seen before, some of them we haven't, but they're all fascinating. And we're having a great time. So come join us. There's a thread in the forums, nerdprideradio.com/forums. Come into the Nerd Talk section. Look for the Movie of the Week Club. It's right near the top. There's, I think it's a sticky post, so it stays at the top all the time. Come in and join us. We're having a good time. That's it for updates. That means it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and the very best stuff off that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So, straight into the master list. First thing I got, it's a nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, Gonzo, but you are so very, very close. This is the notes from my nerd culture report this week say One Direction. One Direction? Why, Mike? Why? Well, let me explain it to you. This is actually a Gen Con topic that I forgot to bring up last week, so I'll do it now because it kind of merits its own little segment anyway. While we were at Gen Con in Indianapolis last week, well, 2 weeks ago now. Stop. All right. I'm sorry. Sometimes my sidebars are a little too distracting. I've got to stop doing that. You know what? It's okay. It's okay to be mostly correct, right? Right, Dave? Mostly correct is fine. Okay. So, anyway, so there we were in Indianapolis, going to Gen Con. And as it turned out, Saturday night, while we were there, the biggest day for the con, there was also a One Direction concert, like a matter of a few blocks from the convention center. Like right on top of each other these were. So you have to imagine 50,000 nerds for Gen Con, or however many of us there were. I think the one-day total or the one-time total was, you know, like 50 or 60,000 altogether. And something like almost 200,000 for the whole weekend. But still, anyway, imagine 50, 60,000 nerds all together. And just as Gen Con, kind of the bulk of stuff is letting out for the day, there's still, you know, tons of people there, but everyone's kind of wandering away from the convention center, headed back to hotels, other events, going to get some supper, whatever it is. So this flood of nerds all going in one direction. See how funny this is? And then this horde, this concert stadium worth of One Direction fans all headed in the other direction as the two groups passed through each other. Now, I don't know what we, as a mass of Gen Con attendees, looked like to them. I assume this big mass of cosplaying nerds, as they're watching all of us nerds and costumed people in. Hold on, why is the TV running? Let me go turn that off. Much better. But we must have been a sight to them going in One Direction. And to me, looking at this horde of One Direction fans, and they were everywhere. They looked so alike. It was unbelievable. Imagine a stereotypical modern teenage girl. And now imagine it times several thousand. And that's what this was. This horde of girls who all, for the most part, were really homogenous. They all looked very similar. They had the exact same hairstyle. They were wearing the exact same clothes. They looked so similar, so cookie cutter as they're coming towards us. And so now the two groups have passed through each other. We're mixing for the evening, apparently. And part of me wants to be disdainful of One Direction fans and going, oh, look at the, you know. And some people around us I could hear making commentary like that. But on the other hand, I mean, I guess the tipping point for me was seeing a group of, I would assume, 14-year-old girls at this point. And the age range on them was, there was anywhere from, you know, 9 and 10-year-old girls in these groups, all the way up through, you know, early 20s. Plus some moms who were bringing younger kids with them, this kind of thing. And it wasn't all girls, but it was almost entirely female. All right? Almost entirely. I would say maybe 10% of their audience was male that I saw. You know, maybe not even that much. And anyway, this group, there are three, maybe 14-year-old girls, maybe 13, and they've got a mom with them, and they're all headed towards us. And as we pass by, they are carrying gigantic One Direction heads. And I can't name any members of One Direction, so I don't know who the faces were, but they were three different faces. And each face was easily 4.5-5 feet tall. All right, so it's just giant One Direction heads. And all three of the girls had one, and clearly they're ready to hold their One Direction heads up during the concert and block everyone's view behind them. But to show off their love for One Direction, they've got their heads. And it occurred to me to wonder if their fandom was any weirder or different, or more or less valuable than our fandom. You know what I mean? And I said that to Aiden, and he said, well, yeah, but, you know, ours is for cool, fun, nerdy stuff, and theirs is for One Direction. I mean, really? I'm like, well, yeah, but, you know, what do they think of us? I mean, it's not, you know, and so I felt this moment of warmth, this bit of unity, as I'm kind of realizing that, you know, as I look around at them, as much as they look all identical to me, you know, clearly they are passionate about their fandom. They are willing to pay. I mean, how much is a One Direction ticket in Indianapolis? You know, $120, $150. How much money are they paying? They're paying a lot of money to go see One Direction because they love One Direction. And there's lots of them. Not all of them, but lots of them that were bringing signs and the cutout heads and, you know, their merchandise, and they're dressed up and ready for their event just as we're dressed up and ready for ours. We've spent the money, we've made our props, they've spent the money, they've made their props. And again, I had this warm, fuzzy feeling of wow, you know what? I mean, I'm not going to judge them. I mean, clearly I don't want them judging me for what I like because yeah, I'm awesome. All right. So why am I going to judge them? And it all felt really great. And then we passed by a group of them that, so sadly, I mean, like, just as I'm coming to this realization and I'm sharing that with Aiden and saying, hey, come on, you know, aren't we all kind of alike? Aren't we all just, and just at the moment that I'm saying that, we passed by a group of four or five of these girls with one dude. They had one dude with them. And as he's looking over at, there's a group of costumed people on the other side of the road, but, you know, other people as well. And he looks over and clear as day, just as we pass him, he's like, wow, that one looked almost normal. I'm like, aw, dude, why you gotta be a douche? Why you gotta go ruin my moment here? You know what? Not my fault your girlfriend forced you to go to a One Direction concert. Come on. Can't we all just get along? I can't. But anyway, it wasn't a huge thing, but it was just that moment of my instincts wanting to judge One Direction fans for being One Direction fans and realizing that they're judging us exactly the same way. I mean, you know, they're looking at someone like me. Well, if they even noticed me, which, by the way, I'm invisible to people under 20, apparently. But if they were paying attention to us, you know, or me in particular, you know, 40-year-old dude, who's out, with his dice and his toys and he's ready to go play games for the whole weekend, you know, it's it seems juvenile. It seems childish. So I'm sure we all have our judgments and opinions, but again, can't we all just get along? Anyway, enough of that. The next thing I've got on my master list, it's my gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, I am here to share it with you. And, I had to add board games now because I realize I obsessively love board games now. So, which, you know, I've always liked board games, but now I'm finding all the ones that I really love. And I should have been doing this years ago. Shut up. All right. But here's the point. My gaming table hopefully is about to get bigger. I have been thinking about this for ages, looking for ways to do it on a small scale, and now I'm just going to do it. I want to set up a game night, a local game night that anyone is welcome to. I want to bring all of my own games, and I have a lot of them, but all of my nerd games, and then people like Joel, or people like my son Jacob and his friends from college, or people like that who I know who can bring their own games can bring some as well. And we'll have a place to set up with a whole bunch of tables, and anyone who wants to show up is welcome, and we'll advertise for it. And it's just a free night of, come on, let's hang out and let's just play some board games and card games. That's all it is. Just a big old game night where anyone can come on in and sit down, and we'll have, you know, enough people, just enough, hopefully, that we can kind of demonstrate games, show people new stuff, give people the experience that I had at Gen Con, being able to go around and just play games, discover new stuff and have fun. Or if people show up and they've got their own games or they've got their own stuff that they're into and they just want to sit there and play their own stuff with their friends, awesome. That's fine, too, which I will probably wind up being just a lot of people in the corner playing Magic. But okay, that happens, too. Whatever. But you know what? The Magic players already have their own little corner. Down at the local bookstore, they go down there once a week and they play Magic to their heart's content. So they've already got their spot, but we'll try and get people into something new, and we'll see if it works out. And I've been wanting to do this for a long time, set up a game night. And, you know, I've thought about different places I could do it. And finally it occurred to me, maybe Joel suggested it, maybe it was my own idea, I don't remember. Thought about the public library, because our public library has a huge front room, already has tables set up in it. It would be available for us. And I imagine that, you know, the library should be relatively cheap, one would hope. Plus, they've got a huge marquee out front where they can advertise if I'd put up flyers at the local bookstore and other places. But, you know, like I say, a community event for nerds that just anybody can show up for. I'm really looking forward to doing this. And so I thought about it, and I called down to the public library. And I said, so here's what I'm thinking of doing. What would it take to get the room? And she says, just call and, you know, schedule it. If the, you know, as long as the room's not already taken, it's yours. You know, if you want to set it up for the day, the afternoon, whatever it is, that's fine. It'll be easy. I'm like, and then she says, oh, wait. What exactly would you be doing with it? And so I explained the whole idea of a gaming day and, you know, board games and card games and just open to the community. And she's like, oh, okay, that's great. No, that sounds like a perfect event. She said, we just want to make sure, because sometimes people try and get it for, you know, their Tupperware parties and stuff like that. And, you know, you can't use it to come in and try and make money. But yeah, if you're just having a game thing, she said, that sounds perfect. That sounds exactly like the sort of thing we'd like to have here. And I said, awesome. So then the big question, is there a cost involved? And she says, no, it's free. I'm like, you are kidding with me. Absolutely free? You guys are way too nice. And she said, well, we are a public library. Giving things away for free is kind of what we do. And she's right. And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. So my hat's off to her, because she was hip and fun. And I can get the library for free. So I'm hoping, if all goes well, look, September is too soon, because they're is way more planning for this than I think there is. All right. I know that for a fact. All right. I'm sitting here thinking that, okay, look, I've already got 3 or 4 people who are on board with this just from the get-go. So if I set up a time, we'll all bring our stuff. And even if we don't have a good turnout, then heck, you know, we'll have 5 or 6 of us sitting around playing a game together for the afternoon. And oh, well, it was a bust. But you know, I'm thinking, okay, I've got a few core people lined up who can help out. We've got the games to play. Now we just have to do some, you know, some basic advertising and, you know, flyers, letting people know, get the word of mouth out there, and see how it turns out. But there's got to be more to it than that. I know that once I sit down and actually start doing this, there's going to be some complicated stuff that I have to deal with, but I'm hoping it's not too bad. But in any case, September, too soon. October, already completely full. I have something every weekend in October, between weddings that we have to go to in Omaha and the Black Hills and band events. October is marching band season, so we have band events all month. There's no way anything's happening in October. So, I don't want to wait too long. Let's try and nail it down for first, second week of November. All right, get it in there before Thanksgiving. All right, so that's my goal. And if it works out and it's something we can do every 2 or 3 months, awesome. I would love to do that. So now I just need a name for the event, and we're off. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited about this possibility. It's something I've wanted to do for years. And this last trip to Gen Con has given me the motivation to go, you know what? that's what I want it to be like. That's the experience I want to give other people. The idea of just being able to come in and find new stuff and try out new things. It was wondrous. And again, I may be disappointed. We'll see. We'll see. There's all sorts of things that can go wrong. There's lots of things that could happen. Again, you know, if I allow people to bring in their own games and again, they all just sit in the corner and play Magic, well, that's not really helping me. Or, you know, if I allow people to bring their own games and they all show up with Life and Monopoly, what do you do with that? Scrabble. They're all going to sit there and play Scrabble all day, which is not, you know, not bad games to play, but that's not what I want. I'm not looking for traditional. I'm looking for, anyway. Like I say, I'll put it together. I'll tell people I'm supplying the games. I will have enough there. I won't have them fighting words yet, but soon, right? Oh, man, that'd be great too. Because if it works out, then boy, after Christmas, I'm going to have all sorts of games. It'll be great. Anyway, that's what I'm doing with my gaming table. I'm hoping to set up a game night. We'll see if it works. We'll find out. All right, what's up next? Oh.
And now for something completely different.
It's something completely different. That's right. These are just things I don't have a category for yet. Holy crap, has Google made itself completely friggin' indispensable or what? Man alive. You remember when Google was a search engine? Holy crow. I have gotten to the point now where Google Calendar got me in. It started with Gmail. And once I linked all of my accounts to Gmail, I just used Gmail as my front end. It's always available to me no matter where I go. And that's the magic of Google services. It's all cloud-based. It's all available to you all the time, anywhere. All you need is an internet connection. It doesn't matter what device you have. I use Chrome on everything. All my bookmarks are shared between devices. I got my Gmail going, so my email is always there. It always knows who I am, and there it goes. And I'm dumping a lot of personal information into Google. I put a lot of trust into their hands, but boy, it's so convenient. I hate to pass that up. I mean, seriously, I linked all of my different email accounts into my Gmail, and now, which I don't even use the Gmail address at all. I use my Nerd Pride Radio address, mike@nerdprideradio.com. That's my primary email address, and yet, you know, it all filters through Gmail, and Gmail sorts it so nicely. I mean, all these filters, all this stuff, all the work I've put into trying to keep my email clean, and Google's got it down, baby. Oh my God. You go into Google, and it just, look, there's the spam in that one, there's promotions in this one, here's your social media folder, and here's your primary. Only stuff that you really care about shows up in your primary, and holy crap, they are dead on. It sorts perfectly. I love my Gmail. It's great. And so, from Gmail, then the next thing was the calendar, where my wife was forced to start using Google stuff at school, and specifically the Google Calendar. And so we created a shared calendar for us, and so now, you know, us and our kids are all have access to this calendar all the time. And holy crap, greatest thing ever. Because again, it's easily shareable and everything is available no matter where you are. From any internet connection, boom, there I am. And my calendar always pops up on every device looking exactly the same. And with it being shareable, there's never any question anymore. Jacob wants to come home, doesn't know if we've got anything going on this weekend. He looks at the calendar. There it is. He knows. Everybody knows. It's awesome. Shared calendar. So, okay. Did that. Well, now the school has gone further and said, look, we're not going to keep stuff on our servers anymore. We're going to be a Google school is what they're calling themselves. So everything is just going to be stored on Google. We have accounts and everything's going out in the Google Cloud. So therefore, my wife has to move all of her files to the Google Cloud. She has to move everything up there to her Google folders, Gmail folders. I don't know what they're calling them. Doesn't matter. And the way it works with sharing files and sharing folders, yeah, God, the convenience is just so great. I've resisted going to this Google stuff for ages. I know it's been available, but I've resisted because I just feel like I'm giving up too much control and too much of my privacy and too much of, and yet, Oh, it's so convenient. I mean, at this point now, I mean, yeah, look, I know those of you who have done this before, those of you who are in some sort of cloud setting already, you understand this already. I'm not telling you anything new, but the idea that we just have a shared folder, the home folder, and no matter where we are, my wife and I need to share a document, which we share documents all the time. It constantly we have to share documents. And so it's a matter of, hey, can you fix up this schedule for me? Yeah, no problem. Throw it in the home folder. Fix it up. Put it back in the home folder. She's got it. It's right there. There's no having to email, no having to attach stuff, no having to find things, dig them out. Everything's backed up. It's always solid. As long as you have an internet connection. And when do I not have an internet connection, right? So there's some, even this week, and the reason I'm bringing it up now is this week marks a transition for me because, my show notes for this week are on Google. I did them in a Google Doc. I made a copy of my show notes template, and I put it into a Google Doc, and I saved it into my Google Files on my Google Drive. And Google Drive, that was the term I was looking for earlier. Google Drive, darn it. Okay, so anyway, my show notes are there. That's what I'm working on right now. I'm in a Google Doc reading off the stuff for this episode. Wow. It just, the convenience is just crazy. And so, I mean, I love it. I absolutely love it. And I still feel a little hinky because, Google has so much power. Google is so huge and they have all of our information. And I don't know what they're doing with it, but oh man, they're making my life easy, aren't they? It's exactly tailored for what I do. I'm super happy. This is great. So anyway, just bizarre. Just bizarre that this is what everything has come to. And the fact that now, I mean, having everything out there and, you know, finally having a smartphone of my own instead of relying on my work one. Because that was the thing. For years, I resisted getting my own smartphone because why am I going to pay for a smartphone when I have one for work? I have a phone. If I need something while I'm out, in an emergency, I can use my work phone. I'll get by. It's fine. But there's so much personal stuff that I'm not going to put on my work phone. Like I say, it's there for emergencies. It's handy to use for this and that, but it's not, you're not going to do everything on a work phone. I'm not going to put my personal stuff on there. I'm not going to use it nonstop for trivial items. I'm not, you know, but now with my own smartphone, I'm at the store and it's like, oh, hey, what's for dinner tonight? Go out to the menu. Oh, that's what's for dinner tonight. Well, I need ingredients. Click. There's the recipe. I have it all. It's all right there. Oh, man. I know. I'm being silly because you guys already all know this. I don't care. I'm so happy. So anyway, that was my nerd culture report. No, that was something completely different. So what's up next? It's time for Roku. I use my Roku box to do all my streaming stuff since I got rid of cable. And what have I been watching lately? This is not going to be a long report, but I have been watching on my Roku BoJack. If you haven't seen BoJack Horseman, go watch BoJack Horseman. Seriously. I'm going to say that about all of these. If you haven't seen them, go see them. I've just finished watching season 2 of BoJack, and it was just as good as season 1. After season 1, I kind of wondered where they were going from there, and it turns out pretty awesome places. BoJack is a lot of fun. It is a, it's a dumb cartoon with talking animals in it, but it's a show about happiness and depression and fulfillment and all sorts of stuff and a purpose, meaning in life. There's all sorts of things that BoJack Horseman is about, and it is funny. And it is deep. And one of the voice actors is Alison Brie, who I love. One of them is Will Arnett. He's BoJack. Amy Sedaris is in this. Aaron Paul. Jesse Pinkman plays Todd. I didn't even realize that. I've seen his name in the credits every time, and I just haven't made the connection until just last night. I'm watching an episode going, wait a minute. Aaron Paul, that's Jesse Pinkman. Oh, that's so cool. Lisa Kudrow was in this season. She's awesome. It's a good show. You should really watch it. Speaking of Jesse Pinkman, I'm still watching Breaking Bad. Loving Breaking Bad. Obviously, everybody loves Breaking Bad. So, love that one. Rick and Morty, season 2 just started. I've seen the first 3 episodes, which, by the way, All right. I have a confession to make. I'm stealing Rick and Morty. I'm stealing it. And that's just all there is to it. I gave up cable. And if I go to cartoonnetwork.com and I try and look up Rick and Morty, there it is on Adult Swim. Actually, it's at adultswim.com. But I can find Rick and Morty on adultswim.com. And they have all the episodes available. And I go to watch them and it says, oh, really? Well, what cable company do you go through? Can you verify that you have a TV subscription? Are you allowed to watch this online? No, but I can go to YouTube and steal it. Damn it. Damn it. I hate doing that, but Rick and Morty is so good. It's so good. I'm not willing to pay $80 a month just to watch Rick and Morty. I mean, honestly, I'm not even willing to pay $80 a month just to watch Rick and Morty and some of the Comedy Central shows that I've been missing so terribly. I'm not willing to pay $80 a month for that. So, I'm stealing Rick and Morty. Don't tell anybody. Oh, but it's so good. Rick and Morty is awesome. It is really, it may be, my favorite series out there right now. It is the show that I most look forward to. I've watched the season one, I've watched twice all the way through and absolutely loved it. And now season two is awesome. So, you gotta watch. You gotta watch. Steal it if you have to. Don't tell anybody. And then, okay, last off on my Roku, I'm watching So You Think You Can Dance. I know, but I love So You Think You Can Dance. It's a really good show. It is, it's moving. It's entertaining. It is, and when I say moving, I mean, out of all the dances they have every week, one or two of them are going to be just top notch, like standing ovation material, really good dances. And once or twice a season, you're going to watch one that just gives you complete chills and just, holy crap, it just blows you away going, that's what dance is about. That is what, oh, wow, phenomenal. I love So You Think You Can Dance. I think it's a great show. I have watched almost every season, and I love this show. Of all the competition shows out there, this one to me just feels so heartwarming and uplifting and fun. And I really, really like So You Think You Can Dance. I can't. This is the one. I'm not going to tell you, look, hey, if you've never seen it, go watch it. But if you have any interest at all, God, Yancey is into So You Think You Can Dance as well. It's really good and really addictive. And we will come in, usually Tuesday or Wednesday after we've both seen the episode, we'll come in and start comparing notes and talking about which dancers we like and which dances worked best for us. And it's really engaging. Really is. Also on my Roku, I still haven't seen Orphan Black season 2. It's just sitting there waiting for me. We purchased it. My wife says it is spectacular. I really need to watch it. She watched it while I was at camp. So God, it's been that long. It's been almost 2 months that I've had that and I still haven't gotten to Orphan Black. I need to watch that. I finished BoJack and, I think I'm gonna make Orphan Black my next, show for myself. Sense8, my wife has also watched Sense8 and says it took a while for her to warm up to it, but it was engaging enough to keep going. And then by the end, she says, oh, no, it gets really good. So I gotta watch Sense8. I'd kind of like to see Wet Hot American Summer. I like all the people involved with it. I've never seen the movie. Never seen the movie. So I have to watch the movie, which is on Netflix, and then the new first season of the television show that they just came out with, Netflix exclusive. I need to watch that too. Everyone says it's really good, so I should really watch Wet Hot American Summer. Right? Right. Half hour in. You know what? That means we've got time. Uh-oh. Get the little ones out of the room. Make sure you're sitting down for this.
Nerd rage came flashing back, and I just looked at him and went, Rrr!
That's right, it's time for some nerd rage. My rage this week, Verizon can kiss my ass, all right? Verizon, have you seen them in their ads? Bragging about how you no longer have to have two-year contracts. You're now free. You can roam month to month. You can do whatever you want. You're free. You can monthly contracts. If you want to leave at any time, you're not tied to us. No more 2 year contracts. All right. Well, you know what that means? As much as I don't like the 2 year contracts, what that means is, oh yeah. No more 2 year contracts as long as you buy your equipment outright. Oh, so now instead of giving me a free phone, I have the freedom now of going to a monthly contract and leave it whenever I damn well feel like it, as long as I pay $400 for that equipment you used to give me for free on my contract. Oh, you jerks. And here's the thing, especially for young people, they know that you can't come up with $400 for a new phone. All right, my son, Jake's been dying. His upgrade is now available. His 2-year contract is over. Like, literally, he calls me up two days ago and says, oh, is there any way my contract is supposed to be coming up soon? Am I due for an upgrade soon? I go look literally that day his contract was up. Time for him to get new equipment. And for him, can he afford to spend $400 for a new phone? No, of course he can't. He's a poor college kid saving for a wedding, saving for school, saving for, he's got all sorts of things going on that he can't afford $400 for a new phone. All right. But don't worry, says Verizon. That's all right. Look, you can still have your freedom. Tell you what, we will sell you the phone on a monthly payment plan. No money down, no interest charges. You just pay us $17 a month for 2 years. So $17 a month for 2 years. My phone will be paid off in 2 years. I don't have a 2-year contract, but I am paying off my phone for 2 years. And, oh, wait, and this is the phone that is exclusive to Verizon. I can't take it to some other company if I decide to up and walk away from you. I can't take my phone to some other company. Oh, yeah, that sucks. So now essentially I'm still tied to Verizon. If I want my phone, if I want to get a new phone, I am tied to Verizon for 2 years, even though it's not officially a 2-year contract. I'm tied to Verizon for 2 years, and now I have to pay an extra $17 a month for it. I pay an extra $17 a month. I'm still stuck with them for 2 years, but I have to pay for it. You bastards. You horrible, greedy bastards. How dare you? Oh my God, this is it. And to brag about how this is for our benefit, to brag about the freedom they're granting us. Oh, I have 4 phones in this house. I have 4 phones. I am not in that. Look, me personally, once my phone is paid off, which mine is because I got mine on the free contract, but when my contract is up and I'm due for an upgrade, I will hold on to this phone until it disintegrates in my hands. That's what I did with the last one. All right, that was part of why I had a flip phone for so long. I still wouldn't have upgraded from the flip phone to a smartphone, except that it stopped working after 10 years, okay? That was the final straw that broke the camel's back. That is why I finally went out and got a smartphone. So I'll hold on to mine forever. All right, Lisa, she will hold on to hers forever. But these kids, they like to have a new phone. And that's where the company's going to get them. Is that, okay, great, like I wasn't paying you enough already, now I have to pay an extra $17 a month. And that's if you want the cheap phone, okay? Well, this was the part that pissed me off. I found out, because Jake said, hey, get me exactly the same phone you have. I really like that phone. I have a Droid Max, okay? It's not an expensive phone, but it's great. It's serviceable. It does exactly what I need. I'm very happy with it. And great battery life, really good phone. And so Jacob says, just get me one of those. I'm like, all right, no problem. So I go to Verizon, and it says, hey, Jacob's got an upgrade available. I click on upgrade. Let's do it. All right, awesome. And it gives me a list of equipment that I can use and upgrade his phone. I say, all right, awesome. Here's the filters. It still has an option on it. Show me a phone that I can get for free with a 2-year contract renewal. It still has the filter for the 2-year contract renewal. All right. And it shows me that the Droid Max, exactly the phone he wants, is free with a 2-year contract renewal. This is a phone he should be getting for free, just like I got it for free. Okay. And so I say, oh, awesome. Droid Max, let's do that. And I click on it. It says, awesome. $400. What? I said, no, not $400. 2-year free upgrade, right? Right? I'm doing that. Ugh. So I try clicking again and again. No. Sorry. Look, $400 or $17 a month for 2 years. Your choice. No, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the free. And that's when I realized, oh, that's right. They changed. Oh, but then why does their filter say I can get it for free with a 2-year contract extension. Why does their filter still say that? Have they just screwed up and not updated their site? Or is there a way to get to it, but I have to bitch to the right people? Bitch, I shouldn't say that. Complain to the right people to get it done? I don't know. But I'm going to... So I just did all this yesterday, Friday. So Monday, I am going to call Verizon. I'm going to explain the issues I'm having very sweetly. And hopefully, they're going to give me a phone. But if not, I'll yell at them. And if I yell at them enough, maybe they'll give me a phone. I cannot believe. This is, I mean, you know what? I'm fine with the 2-year contract. I'm fine with it. But you know what? If this is what they're going to do, then, well, this is the impetus I need. Jacob can hold on to that phone for 3 more months, 4 more months, because that's when the next contract is up, and then all of our phones are ours free and clear. Okay? So by December, we own 4 phones, month to month, no contract. And we're going to get the hell out, because I can do better than Verizon's price. If they're not going to give me free equipment, that's, I mean, look, they actually had a good deal with me. They had me locked in 4 phones, locked into their inflated prices because our contracts never synced up. We never had everything paid off all at once. We always needed a new phone because one of the kids lost one or broke one or whatever. We always had a contract tying us to it. So screw them. Seriously, they can't give me satisfaction on this one. Then maybe it's time to start shopping around. Maybe I shouldn't even bother to yell at him. Maybe I should just wait this out. Go a few months. And if Jacob wants to go out and buy a phone and, if he wants to intentionally buy one that he can take to whatever company he wants, great. Let him do that. And then when we move, then he'll just take his phone with him. All right. Cause I'm fed up. Verizon can kiss my ass. That's exactly where we started with this. Oh, wow. All right. Enough of that. Rage is over. Verizon sucks. Wow. So that's actually apparently the portion of the show where I'm a little less like Mr. Rogers, but still. Ultimately, that's the goal, Mr. Rogers. But, you know what? I'm sure every once in a while Mr. Rogers said Verizon could kiss his ass, too, because they're that evil. All right? Anyway, enough! It's time for the Pod-O-Matic! Oh, darn it! Somebody turned off my stuff. Let's try again. Pod-O-Matic! Holy, hot dog, sweet sassy molassie, that's where we are this week. Sweet sassy molassie, this is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums, and I'll add it to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. Oh, this is awesome. And you guys, I know we did like 40-some Pod-O-Matics on that 3-hour road trip, 99.1 intermission spectacular extravaganza thing. And we used 40-something out of that. And you guys have kept Pod-O-Matics flowing back in. And we're still in the black. I think we're currently sitting at like 115. So we're still over the 100 mark. Still doing pretty good. 72 is our first number. Oh, good to have you back, R2. Let's see, 72 is from Zimnipot. And Zimnipot says, your kids bully you into running an improvised sci-fi adventure one evening. You start the game with, you all wake up naked on a spaceship. You don't remember who you are or why you're here. What happens next? Ooh, that's a great question. Let's see. They are naked on a spaceship. They don't remember who they are or why they're there. What happens next? It turns out that I would actually, I'm sitting here composing a scenario in my head, and I realize that I've just stolen the plot of Pandorum. So that must have been unconsciously influencing me. But yes, they would wake up somewhere, and there has been some sort of accident on the ship. It is a huge arc ship that is, everyone's supposed to be in hypersleep or suspended animation or whatever it is. But they're all supposed to be in hypersleep in the cargo hold, headed off to a new planet, a new solar system, a new life for humanity. And something bad has happened along the way, and now there's just a handful of them awake, and they have to figure out what horrible thing happened. All right, and it's going to wind up being some. There's going to be a lot of dead people. There's going to be a lot of dead bodies in their cold sleep chambers, and then some horrible monster. This is going to be a horror game as they slowly piece together bits of memory and get clues to what's going on and where they are, why this is even happening. Because they don't even know they're on an ark ship. They have no, they don't even necessarily know they're on a spaceship until they get to the window. Or a window. Or if there are any windows. But, some horrible creature is on board. Is it the space alien that invaded? Or is it like in Pandorum? Is it some kind of mutation or thing that has happened to some of the surviving passengers who woke up before them? Is that what caused the accident in the first place? Is some sort of experiment or a mutation or terrible thing gone wrong, and some of them woke up early, or there were stowaways on board who have done some horrible thing? Doesn't matter, and they're the ones responsible for smashing things up. I mean, yeah. Oh, that's even better. That's even better. Yeah, no. And this is still stealing from Pandorum to a degree. But imagine that there were people who stowed away aboard this ship for whatever stupid reason. All right, maybe they didn't realize that this ship was taking off. You know, maybe they were hiding there, and it's a huge ark ship. So, you know, there's lots of miles long. There's lots of room to hide on an ark ship. But stowaways were there for whatever reason, and their little tribe, their primitive tribe, has wound up not being able to get to the ship's computers or anything else important. This tribe has been surviving. And what do they survive on ultimately? Well, since, you know, there's no hydroponics here, they've got some, you know, they can grow some food. There's fungus, and there's some food that they've managed to figure out how to grow, but it's not enough. And to supplement the meat, well, eventually they took to, you know what, every once in a while we break open one of the hypersleep caskets. The people don't even wake up. We just pull them out, roast them up, and we feast. I mean, that's all there is to it. And so these people have been doing this for generations, hundreds of years. How many people is that? If we had, you know, let's assume we had 30,000 people on our ship. How long would 30,000 people feed a tribe of 15, 20, 25 individuals? How long would that work? I'd have to do some math. But anyway, it's now been generations that this has been going on. And so now we wake up and this is what we're facing. And why we woke up, why we weren't immediately eaten, what terrible thing happened that allowed us to get out and not be immediately taken over to the fire pit? I don't know. But that's where it would go. Okay. I've got the game written. It's ready. I could run this at a moment's notice and I would have a great time. I think, oh man, I'm really enjoying this idea. I got to turn this into something. Thank you, Zimny. You're awesome. I forgot we were doing Podomatics. That's how caught up in that I got. 59. 59 is from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, what is your favorite cult classic movie? Big Trouble in Little China. Big Trouble in Little China. Oh, love that movie. I mean, look, there's a handful of them that I really like. Big Trouble in Little China comes to mind immediately, and Evil Dead is right up there for me. Can't wait for the new TV series. But honestly, Big Trouble in Little China is spectacular. I love that movie. It's so much fun. Yes, special effects are cheesy and stupid now. I don't care. That thing is so quotable. Kurt Russell is awesome in it as the hapless hero. I love that. And that's, to me, that's the kicker for this, is that much like Green Hornet and Kato, Kurt Russell is supposed to be Jack Burton, by the way. Jack Burton is supposed to be the big hero. He's the big, manly, swaggering John Wayne type. He's even got John Wayne's voice half this movie, all right? And he is supposed to be the hero, and through his own bumbling ineptitude, it's always Wang. It's always his sidekick, quote unquote sidekick, who winds up pulling things out and saving him. And he's awesome for it. All right. This whole movie is great. I love Big Trouble in Little China. Number 81. I did start numbering these. Awesome. Good for me. 81 is from, there it is. Oh, it's from my wife, Lisa. Hey, Lisa. Now, okay. In the past, I've always been so excited to get questions from my wife. Always. Now, I'm kind of dreading them. She always asks to do something difficult. So, let me try. This one's not bad. Have you ever tried chewing tobacco? And chewing tobacco. Have I ever tried chewing tobacco? I don't think so. I've tried chew, which is not the same as chewing tobacco. Never actually had chaw in there where I've had to actually chew on it. But when I was in college for a while, we tried a little bit of chew, a little bit of dip. You know, it's just a pinch between the cheek and gum. And it is absolutely disgusting. It is a horrible habit. It is worse than smoking because it requires you to spit constantly. You have to spit somewhere. It's nasty. If you're ever in a place where you can't spit and you wind up swallowing it, that's even worse. It's the nastiest stuff. Disgusting. So I tried it. And it was, you know, a short-lived thing, but we had to try getting our nicotine in as many forms as possible. For example, I was not home for this evening, but my brother Kyle and someone else, was it our roommate? Was it Peter? Was it Bergie? I don't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. My brother and one or two other dudes sat around our apartment and decided that they were going to try as many forms of tobacco as they could in one evening. So they had their cigarettes, they had their clove cigarettes, which I don't even know, is there tobacco in clove cigarettes? I assume so. I have no idea. But they had cigarettes, they had cloves, they had some cheap-ass cigars, they had some chew. I think they had actual chewing tobacco. They wanted to smoke pipes, but they didn't want to spend money on actual pipes, so they got corn cob pipes. So they smoked a corn cob pipe, and then they did snuff, where you actually inhale the shredded tobacco up into your sinuses. And apparently it was a miserable, grotesque experience. So there you go. I was not there for that. I've never tried. I've smoked a cigar or two, which I hate, because when I smoke cigars, I always wind up inhaling, and you're not supposed to inhale with a cigar. I smoked cigarettes for many years, and it took forever to break that habit. And I have tried chew, but that's about it. So, yeah, it's all nasty, and it's all behind me, thank God. But those are the ones I've done. All right, this is 69. Yeah, 69 is from, there it is, it's from Ronster. All right, Ronster says, Smaug versus Tiamat. Tiamat, that's Tiamat by the definition I'm using, which is the Dungeons & Dragons definition of it, is she is the goddess of dragons. She is the master of evil dragons. And so therefore Smaug, as powerful as he may be, and he certainly is, he's no match for a goddess. Sorry, that's just the way it goes. Awesome. That is 66. 66 is, it's from Daz. Wow. Daz says, it is 2025. iTunes now allows you to do your own vidcasts, and software exists that allows you to choose any persona, living or dead, who uses words and actions that you choose from an option menu. Who would host the show, and what would he or she say? Okay. First, 2025 is a long way off. We can almost do it now. I've watched demonstrations online of videos where your Kinect or your whatever tool that you have to pick up your motion detection stuff, can pick up your facial expressions and your movements and translate that to an online avatar whose mouth moves to speak your words. And it's primitive. It's primitive now. They're clearly, pixelated, avatars on the screen, and the motions don't quite line up because it's not as good at capturing facial expressions as it needs to be for a job like this. But it's obvious what's going on. It's effective enough for the moment. So within a few years, we'll have that perfected. And I'm going to guess by 2020, we'll be down to the point where you might be able to get an almost photorealistic, representation, to be your online avatar, to mimic your words and actions for you on the vidcast. And if I had that available to me, I would still be me. Do you know why? I am such an egomaniac. I just am. I mean, it would be cool. And certainly if I had the tools available to me, I would use them and I'd play with them. And every once in a while, I'd come on and I'd be Benjamin Franklin. Or I'd come on and I'd be, I don't know, Marvin the Martian. I would be, you know, you come on as Trump or Schwarzenegger if you want to do, you know, someone who is easy to mimic in the public eye, someone who's a recognizable character. You want to come on and, yeah, I'd come on as Batman. You could do all sorts of stuff. I'd come on as one of the octopus tentacle aliens from Galaxy Quest. I would, you know, there's all sorts of things you could do with it. And I would play with it if I had them available to me. That would be great, right? But, you know, after trying out a whole bunch of them, I'd still come on as me because that's again, egomaniac. That's just who I am. All right. Okay, God, there were doors opening from several directions, and I just knew there was going to be some noise coming up here. Sorry for the wait. But now we've done it. Now, 91. 91 is from, where are we? 91 is from Stan. God, this is the best. That's six in a row. No repeats on the people asking the questions. I am impressed. Stan says, do you have a favorite blanket, robe, or other comfy item that you have to have with you when you're home? Nope, not me. I do have to have my pillow. That's it. Have I answered this question before? Man, that question looks familiar.
Yeah, I was just about to say the same thing.
Yeah, I have my favorite pillow. That's it. 74. 74 is Ronster again. There we go. You want to end the streak of no repeats, just mention it. Ronster says, if your friends ever saw you in the back of a police cruiser, ostensibly heading to the police station, what would they assume you had been arrested for? Wow. I cannot imagine being arrested for anything. Therefore, I don't know what my friends would assume about me. I mean, I want to make a joke like unpaid parking tickets, but one, they're not going to arrest me for that. And two, I don't have unpaid parking tickets. I don't know. Reckless driving? I can't imagine. And again, this isn't something, I guess it's not what I would actually do. It is what people would assume I did. And I can't imagine. I can't imagine. You guys answer this for me. What would you assume? Would you just assume that it was like a DUI? Which, again, I would never drink and drive. I barely drink, much less drive while I'm doing it. But would you assume that? I don't know. Would you assume I'd been busted for drugs? Which, again, I don't do. But, you know, would you assume that? Would you guess it was... money laundering, but I don't work for a company where that's even possible. Money smuggling, embezzlement, I can't. What would you guys assume? I have no idea. What would I get arrested for? Punching a cop? Come on. I don't do these things. I have no idea. No clue at all. 42. 42 is Humongous. Humongous says, have you ever trained in a martial art? I took one karate class when I was 7 or 8. Decided it was dumb. Didn't go back. So, no, I have not. 60. 60 is, let's go, there it is. Hey, it's Humongous again. Humongous says, would you be a transcendent human? Oh, that's a good question.
What does that even mean?
If you had the ability to move beyond your physical body and be uploaded into a computer or a robot body or paradise. Some other...
expelled from paradise?
Expelled from paradise.
Yeah,
Yeah, like that. Or if you had the ability to be, you know... again, move beyond your body into a transcendent form. Would you do it? And... beats me. I don't know. If all the cool kids were doing it, I suppose I would.
Oh,
I have
all
no...
the cool kids were jumping off a bridge, would you too?
Yes, yes. If all the cool kids were jumping off of a bridge, I absolutely would. As Noah says, you just wait until there's a big enough pile of bodies, and it's going to be a pretty soft landing at that point.
Noah said that?
Yeah. Or the other alternate is, look, I don't know, you know, I don't hang out with stupid people. There aren't people I consider my friends who I consider stupid. So if I saw them,
they're all jumping off a bridge. There's a pretty good reason.
Right. If they're all jumping off the bridge, that means there's something horrible about to happen, and I better go jump off that bridge too. So it's not really a bad idea. Just, you know, so you know. But yeah, transcendence. I have no idea. Look, I'm having trouble switching over to Windows 10, even though they're offering it to me for free. I'm going to wait till a few other people get it. I've got a year before this free offer disappears. So I'll wait for some other people to be the early adopters, let them get some of those bugs worked out of it, and then I'll switch over to Windows 10. I think Transcendence would be the same way. Let me see how it works for the rest of you first. So yeah, I get it. You know, I'm not going to be ever ahead of the curve. I'm not going to be one of those big winners because I was an early adopter. But you know, I'm cautious. I have a family. What do you want from me? 20. And 20 may be our last one because I got a wedding to get to tonight. Yeah, I don't want to go to a wedding tonight. I would much rather stay home and talk to you guys or maybe just watch a movie or let my wife go to the wedding. And then I could stay home and catch up on Orphan Black. That would be fine too. But I have to go to a wedding. I'm kind of obligated. Darn it. Number 20 is from Stan. Stan says, what's your favorite and least favorite pastries? Pastries? I am a huge fan of pastries. I mean, really, it doesn't, my favorite is, honestly, lately, I just like cake donuts, with a little bit of frosting on them. Just plain old cake donut. Not even the raised donuts, just the cake ones. Those are good, right? Especially if it's got whatever the brown frosting is. I don't know if that's caramel. I don't know if it's maple. I don't know what the brown frosting is, but I really like it. Although, oh, wait, no, there used to be, oh, my God, one of the, when we used to have a canteen in the building I worked in, because we had a patient population that could actually go downstairs and purchase stuff from the canteen, get drinks and snacks and little knickknacks and stuff like that. Our population changed, and we can't do that anymore. But back when we could, the canteen down there always had donuts available in the morning, and they came from a local grocery store, and one of the donuts was just a Long John, not even a filled Long John. I really like the Bavarian cream filled ones. They had Long Johns that had a peanut butter frosting on them. So good. Oh, I loved those. Those were my favorite. But I don't see those anymore, even at that grocery store. But anyway, just a plain old donut is not bad. My least favorite pastry, anything with too much fruit. I don't mind pastries that have jelly in them. I love a good jelly donut or a lemon-filled donut, a raspberry donut. Although Bavarian cream is still my favorite if you can go with filled donuts. But anything that has actual fruit on it, yeah, or in it. I'm not, you know me, I'm not big on fruits and vegetables, and I need to be, but, you know, if I'm going to be treating myself with a donut, you know, putting a few strawberries in it doesn't make it healthy. So, you know, I'm going to go with something I would enjoy more rather than, you know, again, it's unhealthy either way. I might as well go with the one that I think tastes the best, right? Right. Okay. Oh, nope. No more R2. We're done. So, what does that leave us with? Oh, I know what that leaves us with. We need GLaDOS to come in here and sum up the episode so far. Come on, GLaDOS.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Weezer's In the Garage. And is that it? History, science, music, movies, rambling, books, podcast. Oh, yeah, I guess it is. The rest of them weren't music. How about that? All of the songs I use as bumper music are available on iTunes. You check them out. You buy them. You enjoy them. I wouldn't include them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to get your very own pocket mod, just like the one I have. Well, shoot, I don't have my pocket mod here. I actually went with the show notes this time. You go to pocketmod.com. They will give you instructions for printing up and folding your very own pocket mod absolutely free. How you can't beat free. Don't forget to check out the free games I have available on my free games page. Instant Game, Animal Ball Melee, Sandbox Hill, two-thirds of a dozen others, all free, all the time. You want to do something nice for this podcast? Honestly, go recommend it to somebody. Go find somebody that you really like, some nerd who you think would really appreciate this podcast, and let them know. Insist that they have to just try it out. Because if you enjoy it, you spread the word, other people enjoy it. Our community just gets bigger. Can't go wrong with that. If you want to contact me, you can always email me at mike@nerdprideradio.com. I promise I would actually respond to you. Or find me on Twitter. My handle is @nerdprideradio. Or check out my Facebook page, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be totally honest, actually, Facebook is a pretty good place to sign up or to find me and contact me and communicate back and forth. I really like my Facebook. But to be totally honest, even better than that, you should come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. You sign up there, you send me a private message or a public message. I don't care. We will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. All right, the credits are done and R2's getting a little sleepy. It must be time for some listener betrayal. That's right, at the beginning of every podcast, as soon as I start recording, sometimes a little before, I go out to the internets and I put it out on my website and out on Facebook and I say, hey, I am recording. This is your chance. If you've got any last-minute things you want me to read off on the podcast, now's the time, post them up. So here is what people said while I was talking to you guys. First from my website. Let's see. I posted up and said, let's do this thing. And then Eliahad says, updates. Sphere album shipped to the manufacturer this morning. Huzzah! And Sphere, when he says Sphere, he means Sphere Ensemble, his band group. I don't know what you call them. Let's call it a musical ensemble. How's that? Sphere Ensemble, whose Kickstarter I contributed money to, and I am eagerly awaiting the arrival of my own CD. I can't wait. I heard samples of it. I got to hear a couple of tracks in their almost finished, but not quite finished state while we were traveling to Gen Con, and I'm really loving this stuff. And so hopefully soon, I will be getting my very own copy, and I will get to report to you guys on how awesome it is. Hopefully it's awesome. I hope he hasn't been lying to me. But apparently, their album is now shipped to the manufacturer this morning. Production begins. We will have actual real CDs with labels and packaging and all sorts of cool stuff because they're all professional and stuff. This will be great. I'm looking forward to it. Eliahad also continues with, and now an installment of Dave Was Right! He says, a concert harp is in fact 6 feet, 1 inch tall, which is his height. So he nailed that fact in episode 99.1, even though he was estimating in his head at the time. That is so awesome. I feel like me like trivia now. Who knew we were going to need a 99.1.5 to come in and do some fact checking? So awesome. Let's see. Stan posts up. Stan says, do you intend for the thread topic to sound like a class title? Oh, nice. Did I intend for the thread topic to sound like a class title? Yes, this is Listener Betrayal 101. This is where I give you guys instructions on how to betray me, which you don't need any help. You guys are perfectly good at that all by yourselves. You guys are way more entertaining than I would be if I was putting words into your mouths for you. So spectacular. And that's the end from the forums. Oh, wait, post reply. I have to tell them I'm done. Otherwise, they keep posting while I'm talking, which I understand was originally the point. But, you know, at some point we have to stop. So let's see. Is that it? And, yep, nothing new came in the meantime. So now let's go over to Facebook. And Facebook says, oh, shoot, I can't see. Facebook says, oh, I have 4 new notices. And it says, oh, look at that. There's, all right, okay, all right, let's go. I'm sorry, I'm sitting here reading the notices to tell me who commented on what. I could just go to the darn thread and find it. All right. In the order they presented them to me here, first let me type done. All right. It says, one from Eliahad. It says, Mike, you sly dog, posting up on a Saturday? Trying to limit the listener betrayal, are we? Well, actually, no. I just haven't had to have a chance to record today because there's a wedding tonight, and today my wife had to go with her mom and her sister to a wedding shower in Omaha, so she's out for a while, and I figured this was a good time to get the recording done, because tomorrow we are busy. We've got, again, school just started. She just got all of her students started this week, so now that she's got them and the information on them, now she can start doing lesson plans, and there's going to be a lot of things that have to be put together. And so rather than having to take out 2, 3, 4 hours tomorrow recording and putting together the podcast, I figured I'd do it now. So tomorrow, if she needs my help, she's got it. And if she doesn't need my help, again, I'll watch Orphan Black. So either way works out for me. But trying to limit listener betrayal, I don't know. Are you guys not around on Saturday? Maybe. I would have thought Saturday's a better time. Although I like putting it out on Facebook, because then you guys just get notices right away and you all know to come on in. It's awesome, right? Oh my God. It's my mom. My mom, Priscilla, says, I listened to episode 63. She's working backwards. She listens to the new ones as they come out, but then she's also working backwards because she didn't start until, I was actually in Texas. What did I record in Texas? 90 something? It was like 91, 92 when I was in Texas. She started listening when I did that one, and now she listens to the new ones that they come out, but then she's also working backwards. So apparently she is back to 63. My mom says, I listened to episode 63. The sound wasn't bad if you turned the volume down. Trying your beef barley soup tomorrow. Thanks. Oh, that's awesome. That is, oh, you'll love the beef barley soup. I was just looking, because I mentioned that, I love my Google Drive. I love being able to look up what's on our menu and then look up ingredients for recipes just while I'm out. I don't have to find a computer. I don't have to just pull up my phone and, hey, all my stuff is right there. Well, while I was moving all of the recipes out to a folder on the Google Drive, I noticed beef barley soup in there. I'm like, oh, man, I haven't made beef barley soup in months. It's actually going to be my next pick. So I am looking forward to it. I love the beef barley soup. You'll really like it. It turns out it's really good. It's really good as leftovers, and it is a magic weight loss food somehow. So I love the beef barley soup. So good. And speaking of trading recipes, we just tried my mom's I Don't Know casserole, and we really liked it. And next we're going to do another recipe from her on our day of adventure. Should I explain the menu? I should. We have a menu of meals that everyone in the family gets one pick for a meal. And when we finally cook up your meal and we have your pick, then, okay, good. Now you get to pick a new meal, and it goes down at the bottom of the list, and we just keep working our way through. So everyone gets a pick of a meal. And we also have Day of Adventure, which is usually Lisa's pick, but sometimes she'll let one of us do it. But Day of Adventure means we have to, in the rotation, we have to try a recipe we've never tried before. And it doesn't matter what it is. It can be something stupid simple. It can be something ornate. It can be just a variation on something we've done before, but we have to try something new once per cycle on the menu. So, okay, good. We can do that. And then we also have Clean Out the Fridge Day. So that's the day where we go look in the freezer and the fridge and we find ingredients that we have that we don't know what we bought them for. We don't know why they're still here, but holy crap, there's, you know, 2 packages of pork chops down in the freezer. All right, well, let's make something out of that, and then that'll go in for our Clean Out the Fridge Day. So that's the way our menu cycle works. And And so with my mom's recipes that she has given us, we have two of them. We've been putting them in for Day of Adventure as they come up. So we just had the I Don't Know casserole, which was great. And we will probably be having the next one coming up, I don't know, in about a week. So anyway, I love our menus. I love the meal cycle. It's actually really cool. And beef barley is going to be my next choice. What do I have right now? Oh, I have tuna noodle casserole is my next pick. So when that comes up, beef barley's right after that. You guys needed all the details, right? You're feeling educated? All right, good deal. Next up, oh, it's from Sarah Beth. And Sarah Beth says, how awesome is DM Darks? He is spectacular. I love DM Darks. In fact, you guys just had your 10th wedding anniversary. Congratulations, you guys. You both posted up on Facebook for it, and you said very, very sweet things about each other. You had the common theme of, hey, we've had our ups and downs, but wow, we really love each other, and what an awesome family, and you guys are so cute together. You guys are really awesome. So, very cool. But anyway, she says, how awesome is DM Darks? And then says, oops, I mean, how awesome is Mike Jones for doing this podcast all summer? A pretty damned awesome, I'd say, which is her response. But it was also exactly the response I was going to give, because pretty damn awesome. And if you have to ask my humble opinion, by God, this was a blast and it's worked out so well. And I'm so proud of myself. Thank you guys for supporting me, giving me this motivation. We powered through it. I feel good. I honestly think I could do a weekly podcast forever. This is great. Anyway, oh God, speaking of which, oh man. And my brain. I have to, don't let me forget. I have to send in an email to events at nerdist.com, because that's where they do their Nerdist Community Corkboard, if you ever listen to them. And because I just did my 100th. And so before I publish 101, because I want to be honest about how I'm doing it, before I publish 101, you know, late Sunday night, Monday morning, I have to send an email to events@nerdist.com. to let them know that, hey, you guys should listen to the Nerd Pride Radio podcast. And hey, we just had our big 100th episode from Gen Con. Gen Con gives me the nerd cred. 100 episodes gives me the longevity of this is not some fly-by-night podcast. This is something I'm actually doing. That kind of stuff. And with any luck, Chris Hardwick or maybe his engineer Katie or somebody will actually read my stuff on their podcast. And let people know that we're out here. That would be so cool. Anyway, I'm sorry. I have completely distracted myself. I wasn't even done with reading Sarah Beth's post. So pretty damned awesome. I like repeating that. She continues, any fun adventures planned for weekends now that school's back in session for you guys? Oh, absolutely. Labor Day, we're going to go out and do something. And maybe, hey, it's Noah. Hi, Noah. We're going to go out and do something on Labor Day that doesn't cost a lot of money, but we just want to get out of the house. I mean, with school starting, being cooped up, there's a lot of stuff going on. So, man, that kid is making some noise. He is loud. I need to beat him. That's what I need. You know what? I think that's the problem. I think I don't beat him enough or at all. Oh, he's got to learn some discipline. All right. So anyway, so we're going to do something for Labor Day. Going out somewhere, and it may just be, you know, going out to a state park we've never been to before and wandering around and seeing all this stuff, because there's some big state parks in Nebraska that have some really cool stuff, and so it'd be a fun road trip. You know, we'll drive an hour or two to wherever we're going and check out whatever it is their attraction is, whether it's just the beautiful mountains or the rivers or the climbing and hiking. Oh, a good hiking day would be really cool. Anyway. We also have, I told you October is going to be the busy month. We're going up to the Black Hills for a wedding for my wife's cousin. And, that will be, we love going to the Black Hills. But this time I think we're going to, while we're in the Black Hills, the only events we're going to go to, oh my God, while we're in the Black Hills for this wedding, the wedding and the reception and the hotel that we're staying in, all one building. Oh, we don't have to go anywhere. This is great. Party. All right. but it is right out our hotel window, Mount Rushmore. That's where we're going to be. We're going to be staring at Mount Rushmore. That's how close we are. All right. We're in Keystone. We're right there. And it's going to be awesome. Really looking forward to that. But also around the wedding, we will probably hike to the top of, Harney Peak, which is, a hike that my brother-in-law and his family did last time we were there. We were in Custer State Park, and they went to Harney Peak while we did something else that day, and they loved it. So we may do that, climbing to the top of Harney Peak, or we may, since we're right next to the monument, we may just go hike up to the monument. We may actually, we've gone and seen Mount Rushmore many times, but, you know, we always sit on the observation deck, and we walk up and down the the big gallery there, but we've never actually hiked up to the monument itself. And I think we may do that. See how far up it goes and where we're allowed to be. So I think we may do that, or Harney Peak, either one. And then, either on the way in or the way out, I think right near Black Hills, kind of towards the Badlands, is, a missile silo. So since I've talked about missile silos before, gotten the kids all excited about it, here we have an opportunity to go down and actually see one as a tourist attraction. I think we're going to do that. Probably take my my father-in-law with us, because he would love that shit. Oh, my God, it'd be so much fun. So, yeah, we've got things still coming up. And, as I mentioned, maybe Gamer Day, Gamer Night, Game Night, whatever I arrange, whatever I call it. Because I think the public library is open, like, 10 o'clock in the morning until, or 9 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock at night every day. So, if I set up something that starts right after lunch and we can run one until whenever people get bored and decide to leave, I think that would be appropriate. That way people have already eaten before they get there. I don't have to feel like people are going to bail on us to go get snacks and food and whatever else. So I think I can do that. But anyway, doesn't matter. Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff coming up. Let's see. Next it says, oh, it's from Stan. Stan's comment says, how awesome is Eliahad? Awesome. I always knew he was awesome, but didn't realize he was so tall. This is Stan, by the way. I appreciate you, Stan. You're awesome and funny. Yes. Not only is Eliahad awesome, but he's also really tall, which makes him even more awesome, because tall people are better than short people. That's just the way the world works. So, okay, that's not really true, but tall people do get, as long as you're not too tall. If you're freakishly tall, this doesn't apply. But in general, tall people get treated better and get more advantages than shorter people. Weird, right? Just weird. Unfair. Like it's not enough that Dave is already white and male, but he also gets the tall advantage too. Crazy. No wonder his life is so good and so easy. Everything's just handed to him. Right, Dave? All right. Anyway, Nelly says, I get married tomorrow. Any last minute advice? Oh, see, look, she, Nelly, what? I think they're already technically married. They had the reception for their wedding at Gen Con, but now they're going to have the actual wedding ceremony now. I don't understand the whole thing. Don't need to, but, any last minute advice? Yeah, don't sweat it. And which I don't think you will, knowing you. But yeah, don't sweat it. Just have fun. You already know Derek, and you already love Derek, and you guys are going to be awesome together because you've already been awesome together. So therefore, this is all going to be great. But as far as the wedding day itself, you know what? You've done all the planning. You've made all the arrangements. Now you go enjoy yourself. And if anything screws up, who cares? You know what? Things go wrong. Who cares? Not you. Not you, because you're there to have a good time. That's all I can say. The whole thing's probably going to be a blur anyway. But have as much fun as you can and just enjoy yourself and relax. You've earned it. Seriously. Although that's my advice. After Nelly, there are direct replies to Nelly from Sarah Beth saying congratulations. And then four hearts. Which, by the way, when I first tuned into this page and I saw a post that had four hearts on it, I assumed it was going to be Nelly posting it, but it's not. It's in reply to Nelly. She just inspires that, apparently. And then Stan also replies to Nellie and says, congrats. Remember, it's your wedding. Do what you want to do and have fun. Don't worry about what others expect. Damn right, Stan. We are on the exact same page. Of course, we're also, you know, both old white dudes who maybe can't relate as much. I don't know. But you know what? I think the advice is still good. Take it. And then it's me done. This podcast is over. You guys are awesome. Thank you for being here. Good night. Say good night, R2. See you next week.